We hear a lot of perspectives on the Mankind podcast. Inclusion of a guest is not an endorsement of their views, and the opinions expressed here do not always represent the mission or values of the Mankind Project USA.
Looks like the rain has gone.
G'day and welcome to another episode of the Mankind Podcast, the show where we break the molds of modern manhood to prove there is more than one way to be a man. We are live with Gregory Russell Benedict. He is a life and leadership coach, and this is not his first time on the show. He's joined us previously to talk about his experience of living boldly and going out into the world and asking ridiculous things to strangers who, more often than not, were quite kind and receptive, and so, which is pretty cool. We've got a final episode to do to tie that in, because he did this 100 days of living boldly. But today we're here to talk about Ikigai. And mate, Greg, for those that haven't heard of you yet, tell us a little bit about yourself and we'll start diving into the Ikigai concept. Let's go.
I love it. I'm so excited to be back on the show. A little bit about me, like you said, I'm a life and leadership coach, and I help people live a story worth telling. Living a story worth telling is all about adding more meaning, more fulfillment, more adventure, more excitement to your life. And it's really based around this concept of living a life that's true to yourself and not the life that others expect of you. And that is honestly the perfect jumping off point for today and today's topic, which is Ikigai. So a little bit about Ikigai, we're going to get into it. It's a Japanese term, and like all Japanese terms, the translation to English is messy. So there's a couple different ways that we can translate Ikigai. The first is Iki means to live, and Gai means reason. So a lot of people think that Ikigai roughly translates to reason to live. But the translation that I like more is that Iki means life, and Gai means worth. So it's rather what makes life worth living. And it's this beautiful Japanese phrase. We'll get into it. But what do you think of that, Brandon?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great. As someone who is, I have the proud title of completion on my Kindle reading Musashi, which is a 1,000-page epic, and just fascinated with Japanese history and philosophy and concepts like this. So I'm eager to dive into it. Let me ask you, I feel like this is going to tie in really well to this phenomenon that we're experiencing across the globe, this kind of male malaise where dudes are just checking out on a really large scale. I mean, never has there been a time all throughout history that there has been more men in their late 20s still living at home with their parents. And men are dropping out of jobs and work. They're dropping out of college faster than ever. Can't blame them for that. But, you know, guys really are like kind of getting discouraged. Oh, I think this generation as a whole, though, not just guys, the kind of American dream, if we're talking about the West here or here in the United States, like people are abandoning it for whatever reason, whatever external factors, whatever belief systems, whatever environments they're in. So I'm excited to see the links here and how, you know, if people can really start on their journey or at least take that first step in the journey to discovering their Ikigai, perhaps we can challenge this phenomenon and maybe right the ship. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more with you that we are in this period of lack of meaning. It's almost a meaning crisis and a purpose crisis where it can be really hard to find your purpose. I always talk about this with clients. Finding your purpose is such a buzz phrase these days, but it can be really heavy and really stressful and really hard, and you can beat yourself up if you don't know what it is. And myself, like so many other people, I wanted this lightning bolt moment where you suddenly just know what you're meant to do, why you're on this earth, what your big life purpose is. And I help people, and we'll get into this in this exercise, this Ikigai exercise that I'll take people through, but I help people find a purpose, not necessarily their purpose. Because you can find a purpose for this chapter of your life. And as you grow and evolve, your purpose should as well. And so if you've found that lightning bolt moment, if you've known since you were 8 that you wanted to play the violin or the piano, amazing. That's great for you. But for most people, it takes a lot of digging, a lot of discovery, a lot of peeling back the layers to figure out what you are passionate about. And where do you want to go first? Do we want to go to Ikigai and the upside, or do we want to talk about the lack of purpose? And
let's stick with the lack of purpose. Yeah, let's stick with the lack of purpose, because I can, you know, from my own lens and my own lived experience, I remember being in my early, well, I mean, even starting in high school, like I was so extreme with whatever caught my attention. I would go so deep into that thing and get so extreme and wrap my identity around it entirely. I remember in high school, I wanted to be a marine biologist. I discovered that at like halfway through 10th grade, but I'd just missed a year and a half of doing those subjects. I've been doing like woodworking and metalwork and stuff, the kind of bludge subjects. And so all of a sudden I'm a year and a half late jumping into the sciences, organic chemistry and stuff. And it was intense. And come to find out after it all, there's no way I want to be a marine biologist. Like, you spend most of your time in a lab, you're not scuba diving every day. But I got extreme on it. And then that turned into many other things. I'm, you know, many people who listened to the show knew that I had a gym back in Australia. And man, the first year and a half, it was intense how much I just lived and breathed that stuff. But then when it stopped getting as fun, when there started to become more challenges in business, it's like this thing that was so precious to me, my identity, which was wrapped up in this gym. When things weren't going well, I felt like everything was burning. Like myself, when the gym was doing great, I was doing great. When it wasn't doing great, I was doing horrible. But I was sold this idea that you got to have your passion and your purpose and a way to make money, and it all has to be combined. If you're not making money off what you're passionate about, and that passion isn't aligned with a purpose, then you're wasting your life and you're wasting time. And that was my belief, and that belief burnt me out. Whereas what I can share now in my life is I look at it more as, what is my purpose for this phase of life? And my purpose doesn't necessarily have to be combined with a passion. There are certain jobs and things that I take on and have to do because of the how financially lucrative they are. But would I want to do them every day for the rest of my life? Heck no. Yet it's paying off our mortgage quicker. It's paying for our trip in the summer. It's paying, right? So there's a purpose behind it, although there may not be a passion aligned. That's just kind of my blah. And from my lens of looking at this kind of myth, I think that people get sold that from a young age, one, you have to have it figured out and you need to know what it is and you can't abandon ship. You got to just keep driving it. And that two, everything has to be combined and there can't be nuance between passion, purpose, making money. So I want to get your take on that, because I know you have this conversation with people all the time.
If there's anything I've learned, it's that you don't have to have it all figured out. And listening to this episode today will help you start to put some of the pieces together, because I'll take us through high level, the Ikigai workshop that not only changed my life when I was quitting my job in finance and trying to figure out what the heck I was going to do next, but it also helped me figure out my purpose and my passion and my Ikigai. It's super, super helpful. And it's the exercise I do with all my clients, and everyone loves it. So we'll get into that. But back to the purpose thing, and especially among men. So when you say that you wanted to be a marine biologist, I imagine Matthew McConaughey in that movie Sahara, where he's spear fishing off the coast, he's diving for buried treasure. And that's what you think it's going to be, right? When you're a young man. But it's often not like that. And having some sort of thing that you're working toward, this higher aim, this goal that you're aiming at, this bigger idea of who you could become, is so important. And without it, it's no wonder why so many people, men and women, but especially young men, are lost. They're feeling like there's no greater purpose to what they're working toward. And it's no wonder why there's such high rates of depression, loneliness, anxiety, all of these somewhat modern diseases. And there's a really cool concept and person who talks about this a lot. His name is Adam Lane Smith. He's a licensed psychotherapist. And he talks a lot how male depression gets treated like female depression, which is a mistake. So men are made to feel loved and accepted during traditional talk therapy a lot of times, when all they want to do is feel powerful and capable. If you are listening to this as a man, think about it. When you're feeling incapable, when you feel powerless, when you feel helpless, I'll speak for myself. That's when I feel the worst about my ability to provide, to protect, to go out there and make a difference. And yes, being loved is nice. Being accepted is nice. But ultimately, you want to find something that you can go pour your time and your talent into. And Adam Lane Smith tells this unbelievable story. I get the chills every time I think about it. So this is back during World War II. It's in London and Germany is bombing London. It's the Blitz.
The Blitz.
Before this happened, there are psychiatric wards all over London where men have been in comas. They've been unresponsive for years, 5 years, just hospital patients. They can't get out of bed. And then all of a sudden, London starts getting bombed and buildings are exploding. There's fires. People are dying. People need saving. And during the Blitz on London, these men who had been unresponsive for years and years and years wake up out of their comas and they start driving fire trucks and ambulances because suddenly their life had meaning again. They had a purpose. They had someone that they could go out and help. And I get chills every time I think of this story. And Chris Williamson is a podcaster. He brought Adam Lane Smith on his podcast, Modern Wisdom. This is when I heard it for the first time. And Chris says, give a man a purpose and the ability to achieve it, and he will crawl over broken glass with a smile. Mm.
You know, to that, there's remarkable research that came out of that time where the people in London were surveyed around their happiness as they were kind of recovering and putting things back together. And as a city, as a collective, they've never been happier than the period of time after they were bombed.
Which is insane.
And during it, which is insane to think about while they're bunkering and hiding in their basements and living off rations and barely scraping by and losing people left and right. Collectively, they were happier than they have been in recent times. And to me, it clearly points to purpose. There was a collective purpose, which was the survival of everyone around you.
There's a collective purpose and there was a collective suffering. And the word suffering has such a intense negative connotation with it. Mm-hmm. But if you think about how you bond with other humans, if it's on the lowest scale from going through hard daily double tryouts for soccer in high school, or the most extreme form of suffering and bonding that people put themselves through is combat. Like being a Navy SEAL or combat.
Yeah.
It's this shared experience of overcoming a hard thing that you not only bond to the people around you, but I feel like you bond to yourself. You feel a new belief in self-confidence. And I love what you said about the happiness levels during the bombings were the highest they've ever been. And it's so counterintuitive. And it's why I think that living a story worth telling and finding your purpose and living a meaningful life, it's why I optimize for meaning. Meaning, fulfillment, adventure. I think that happiness comes as a byproduct of doing hard things, of overcoming challenges, and doing something that you feel matters. I think that if you try and aim directly at happiness, like if my tagline was live the happiest life possible, it's, at least in my own experience, so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
You get to happiness through finding purpose, through doing things that matter, through doing hard things.
Happiness isn't the goal, right? Happiness is the byproduct of seeking that purpose. And, you know, it makes me think about the, have you seen the documentary Restrepo by Sebastian Younger? Came out in around 2010. He was with a troop of US soldiers that were defending this kind of hill in Afghanistan, and they were up on top of it. And he was with them through this combat. And there would be periods of time where there was nothing. There was no combat. There was, you know, they weren't getting shelled. They weren't getting attacked. And the soldiers were miserable. They were miserable in the not knowing, and they were miserable in just sitting there and having nothing to do. And it really shines insights into, like, these men have been bred for a purpose in this conflict. And when they weren't able to enact that purpose, they were miserable. And that's quite evident in combat veterans and many who we've had on the show share about the purpose gap when they come back. Whereas they went from an environment where they could lay, you know, they could lend their lives to the men and women to their left and right. And then they come home and it's like, cool, take out the trash. Right. It's Tuesday. Go, you know, there's that kind of gap there. And I think this also ties into not just finding purpose in struggle, but finding purpose in growth, where you look at, I mean, my first exposure to Ikigai was through the kind of Blue Zone documentary on Netflix, where you meet these elderly in Okinawa. And for those listening that aren't aware of a Blue Zone is a place on Earth where there are high numbers of individuals living above 100, but not just living above the age of 100, but thriving after the age of 100, still capable of moving, getting groceries, working in the yard, being a part of their community. And one of these things that you saw with these Okinawans was that they grew their own food. They were part of social groups and supporting one another. They were part of charitable work, so very philanthropic in nature in supporting one another. And so, yeah, it kind of makes sense that hanging out in your mum's basement is not really going to be a place where you're going to find a heck ton of purpose in that place of isolation. And I'm not blaming anyone for being in that place. I get it. Been there. But it's kind of evident as to why there may not be progress.
Yeah.
If the behavior doesn't change, if there isn't that connection to an outside source.
I love it. So we've kind of laid out what's currently going on, this lack of purpose. And we've talked about this potential solution, this Japanese concept, Ikigai. I think now let's move into it and drill into it a little more. And to summarize again, Ikigai is this concept that encourages people to discover what truly matters to them and to live a life filled with purpose and joy. And like you mentioned, Ikigai actually originated in Okinawa. So not only do the people live there, do they have the highest percentage of centenarians, people over 100 who are thriving, but they also invented this Japanese concept. Fun fact, they also invented karate. Yeah. I was watching a TED talk that we'll link in the show notes about Ikigai before this, just to refresh. And it was really, really good, really fun, really loved the speaker.
Yeah. So for those joining us live, that TED talk is linked in the comment section.
Fantastic. So Ikigai, we've given you the definition. It's your reason to live, your reason for being, your reason to get out of bed in the morning. The Japanese view it more as a holistic, whole life purpose type of thing. We in the West, especially America, have made it all about work, all about productivity, yeah, efficiency. Like, what is your mission statement?
Corporatized it.
Exactly. Like we do with everything. So I use Ikigai to help my clients figure out their mission statement, their purpose statement, their dream statement, whatever you want to call it. It's a really effective tool to find almost the DNA of what makes you you and what your dream is. And I love taking people through this Ikigai exercise that we'll go through in a moment, because one sentence emerges from it. And at a high level, if you told me your sentence, Brandon, I would know so much about you. I would know what lights you up and why. And how you come to this is, Ikigai can be conceptualized as a Venn diagram on steroids. So a normal Venn diagram is the two overlapping circles. Mm-hmm. Ikigai, imagine two overlapping circles on the horizontal axis and two on the vertical. So the top circle is what you love. Then you have what you're good at. The third circle is what you can get paid for. And the last circle is what the world needs. And it's the intersection of all four of these that is the sweet spot that becomes your Ikigai. And this is such a powerful way to visualize Ikigai, because it asks you, okay, what do you love? That's so important. What are the things you're passionate about, that you care about, that you get so excited talking about that your face lights up, you start moving your hands, you don't know what to do with your hands. What are you good at? Skills, the things that you've acquired along the way. What can you get paid for? This is a piece that I think a lot of the life coaching industry misses when we're talking about passion and dreams and what lights you up. It's like, okay, but you still got to figure out a way to make money so you can have the energy and the fuel to keep going. And then the last part of it is my favorite. What do you think the world needs? It can be, what do you think the world needs more of, less of? it's such a beautiful question because it's not often that you get to ask or answer what you think the world needs. And that really gets to the core motivations of people and what lights them up.
Okay. So let me ask you, you know, we have things that we love. We have a particular set of skills. We have a need to make income and then something that, you know, we can contribute to the world. If there were traps in each of these where people might get stuck or get confused, what might they be? Because understand that there's perhaps a sweet spot in the middle, but from my previous experience, I tried to achieve this with my gym and found myself falling very much out of love with the process when any of it got shook.
Yeah. So let's actually start walking through this exercise that I take people through, and I'll answer the pitfalls along the way. But before we dive in, the biggest one I can think of right off the bat is that I always tell people, Ikigai is more like a compass than a calculator. It is going to point you in the direction which you should set off on this big adventure, but it's not going to spit out senior consultant. It's not going to spit out the exact job position that you should go do, especially because in some senses, it's bigger than just work. As I mentioned, the real true Japanese concept is more about your entire life. So that's pitfall number one, is thinking that you're going to do this exercise and you're going to walk away and you're going to know exactly what you want to do with your life. And that it's going to help you get your next job or fill out your resume.
So, do not get to the end of this podcast and put in your resignation letter. That's what we're saying.
Exactly. And then there's some other pitfalls that come in each of the categories. What you love, sometimes people say they love everything or they can't hone in enough. So you want to find the sweet spot of 5 to 7 things in each category. And when it comes to what you can get paid for, there's two things. One, yes, you can get paid for the job you're currently doing that you might hate. If you hate your job, don't put down what you're currently doing. You want to put down exciting things, and you can put down things that you could get paid for. You might not necessarily have the skills yet, but when I was doing this for the first time, I put down writing, I put down speaking, I put down podcasting. I haven't made money. I've made a little bit of money from writing. I haven't made money from speaking or podcasting yet, but those are parts of the dream. So as I mentioned, I have this high level Ikigai exercise that we'll walk through, and it fundamentally changed my trajectory. It was this exercise that helped me figure out all of these things that I loved that seemingly didn't combine, from education to human connection to speaking, writing, learning. And I realized that they all kind of fit together under this coaching umbrella. And this was one of the first exercises I did that helped nudge me in the direction of becoming a coach.
Hey, Boyson.
Brandon, what's happening, man?
Mate, I'll tell you, little one, my daughter, she is becoming more and more her,
which is
amazing. I'm just eating it up. But when I don't want to eat it up is in the middle of the night, 4 in the morning, when she's trying to skip naps and I've got a lot of things to do. That's when things get a little tough.
So what are you leaning on? I mean, yeah, right. I get that. How much coffee are you drinking these days?
Well, mate, you know me. I'm certainly not. I don't like the vices. You know, you've been in the health space for a while, and I get a little bit too hooked on those things. So I'm pretty grateful that we had the folks at Magic Mind reach out to provide us and the audience some value with their Magic Mind drink solution. And dude, I can tell you, it is blowing my mind.
What's it doing for you? I'll talk about mine, but what's it doing for you?
Well, mate, I think the biggest thing is sustained energy. That's what I need. I need to have the same energy at 10 a.m. as I do need at 2 p.m. But when the energy dips and I've still got work to do and she's crawling all over me, screaming in my ear, that is when I need to be able to push through. And yeah, so I'm not getting the dips. And unlike coffee, I'm sleeping at night, which is amazing.
Yes, the ingredient thing. So that's me too. I've been a coffee dude for a very long time. And when I get into these spaces where I'm just working, and I get too much into the coffee, I end up like frazzled and stomach achy and jittery. And what I'm seeing with Magic Mind is like, I've reduced the amount of coffee I'm actually drinking in the morning, and Magic Mind boosts the focus for me. So for me, it's like, how many things can I juggle in a day? And having that focus without the coffee stuff, without all the coffee downside, I think has been really good for me. And yes, the sleep thing, man, there's some ingredients in this stuff that have totally helped my sleep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I mean, because you're getting the caffeine from matcha, which is an extended release caffeine as opposed to like an intense rise then dip. It's got all the fancy mushrooms that you know everyone's taking these days, including ashwagandha, which gives you that más fuerte kind of energy. And and fortunately for us, they've offered us a great discount that us and you, the listeners, have access to get 56% off your first subscription and 20% off a one-time purchase with the unique discount code MANKIND. So if you go to magicmind.com/mankind, you get access to this discount. And like us, you get to enjoy this sustained energy, that más fuerte energy. I can take that into a couple places. But yeah, big fans.
And do, yes. Check it out, yes.
Yeah, and I need to get my wife to stop stealing mine, which would be great.
Thanks, Brandon.
Mate, without further ado, let's do it.
Let's do it. So all you need for this exercise, it's super simple. Just get a piece of paper and make four columns across it. And we'll move through it pretty quickly here because we're not leading anyone through it live.
Sure. And for those driving, no. Pull over. Exactly. We'll do this later.
Exactly. And also do it later because you want to write it down. If you try and just do this in your head, it won't be as powerful. So you have a piece of paper, you make four columns. You're going to label the columns as the categories we talked about earlier. So column number one is what I love. Column number two is what I'm good at. Column number three is what I can get paid for. And column number four is what the world needs. Step number two is you're going to go through and you're going to list 5 to 7. Again, there are no rules. You can do 4, you can do 9. 5 to 7-ish things in each category. So first, things I love. Then things I'm good at. Then things I can get paid for. Then what I think the world needs. You go through this and you'll have a bunch of words in every column. And then you go through each column again and you start to look for a common theme, a thread that weaves it all together. And it can either be a single word that you write at the bottom of the column or a phrase. So say, Brandon, that you were writing down, we'll go back to the marine biology example. Maybe for things you love, you wrote ocean, adventure, Matthew McConaughey, of course. Mm-hmm. Deep sea fish, who knows?
Yeah.
And the theme of that maybe was marine biology, or the theme of that was
right,
connecting with the outdoors. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go through each column and you're going to find a theme. It can either be a word or a phrase that summarizes the column. Write it at the bottom of the column and circle it. So at the end of this next phase, you'll have 4 circled words or phrases at the bottom of each column that kind of link the column together. And the final piece, again, we're blitzing through this. I normally sit down and do this with people for an hour. Mm-hmm. The final piece is taking those 4 words or phrases and figuring out how they come together, kind of like a puzzle. And you can start it off by saying, my mission is to blank. And then you use the words, or you can say my dream is, or my purpose is. It kind of depends on what you're feeling.
So it's kind of like I create ABC by action XYZ.
Exactly. Okay. And you'll see how they fit together. And it's a very iterative process. Please don't think you'll get it right on the first time. It's also really helpful to do it with someone else. So I am more than happy to jump on a call with you. If you're listening, we'll give you my email. We'll put a link in the episode when it goes out. I have a PDF that walks you through these steps with some visuals. You can actually see my original piece of paper that I did this exercise on. And then there is an option in there to book a call with me. If you're having trouble with the last part of putting it all together, it can be really helpful to have 2 heads in the room, push the heads together, do some brainstorming, and you walk away with something that lights you up. That's the goal here. You want to come away with a sentence that when you read it, you feel something. You want to feel something, you know, deep in the chest, in the gut. That's the soul saying, yes, we're on the right path.
Gotcha. So give us an insight into kind of yours, the bones that you came up with, just to kind of see what it, how it fleshed out and then what it resulted in.
Yeah. So let me actually pull this up. I want to see what I wrote on the original piece of paper.
So I imagine you're at iteration 17 at this point.
I am at least at 17. And that's a really good thing to bring up, is that it's a living, breathing thing that will change as much as you do. And it's okay. So don't think that you're going to get it right on the first time. And
as you, as you pull this up, I want to share a little anecdote that's coming alive in me. Is when I had my gym, a big part of our process in the beginning and starting someone's journey is like, yeah, you're here to get in shape, but you know, we'd ask the seven layers deep question, why, right? And, you know, I was working with this client once and she was sharing that she wanted to get in shape. She had bad kyphosis, like her spine was a little bent. She wanted to work on her posture and a bit more tone and blah, blah, blah. We started asking the layers why. And all of a sudden we end up in this place of, you know, I have very little enjoyment in my week. Mm. And being a part of a gym and a community might give me a chance to kind of be with others and enjoy myself and be fulfilling. And I'm like, well, what brings you enjoyment? And she said, the ocean. I'm like, okay. She's a nurse, by the way. I'm like, when's the last time you went to the beach? She goes, oh, it's been weeks, months probably. I'm like, I looked at her address on her form and I went, you live on the beach and you haven't been. And she had been so swept up with work. She's an IVF nurse working for who she called a tyrant. So she was so swept up in work and making money and other things that she wasn't breathing air into the things that she loved. And so I thought, all right, well, let's try something here. In conjunction with coming to the gym, I'm going to make a part of your fitness program, 30 minutes of walking on the beach. And you got to get your toes in the water every day, weather dependent. And just that simple ask and that task of getting on the beach, just feet in the sand, getting grounded, walking in the ocean. A month later, I'm like, how do you feel? She goes, I feel amazing. I feel like I've reconnected with this passion. Now, did she have to quit her nursing job? It wasn't like go be a marine biologist, go charter boats, go do whatever with the ocean. It's like you can breathe life into this passion that she had for the ocean and for water without having to like burn the ships and quit what you're doing and leave the safety and security. I'm happy to hear the kind of collective narrative, you know, with life coaches and business coaches. Greg, you've seen this up and down, I'm sure, is that they're all like, quit your job, leave your wife, chase your passion, burn the ships, like go hard, hustle, 10X. And some more reasonable voices now are coming out saying like, you're swinging on a vine right now. Don't let go of it until there is a rational, clear choice of the next vine to grab. And I guess that would be my cautionary tale to anyone going through this process of trying to really hone in on what their purpose or their passion or their ikigai is that you don't have to be extreme in this. You're the expert, so you tell me.
No, I love that so much. So I was the extreme version, the most extreme version of what you're describing, not telling other people to do it, but doing it myself. When I was 25, I quit my job in finance. I had no idea what I was going to do next. And looking back, it was the right decision for me, but I normally caution other people against that because if it's the right decision for you, you'll know. Your soul will let you know that, hey, I'm dying. And if you don't do something drastic, it doesn't look good for us. But for most people, it's much better to have a side hustle or in this TED talk that we're going to link, he calls it a side helpful. Like just start doing things that you like and helping people and you don't need to make money for it yet. Ikigai isn't necessarily about making money. It's about doing your life's work, finding the things that light you up and bring you joy. And as you mentioned with that woman, walking on the beach sounds like that increased her well-being more than, I don't know, making money doing something she liked might have done. And so I can't agree with you more in that you don't need to quit your job tomorrow. You don't need to make this drastic left turn out of your life. Unless you know deep down that that's for you, ease into it. Use this exercise, start to figure it out. And as you lean more into doing these things that you love and finding what truly lights you up, I think that magic, the universe gets involved and you start to meet the right people. The right doors start to open. You have these serendipitous, synchronistic moments where things start to flow. And it really, I think, comes from you aligning with your higher purpose and what you're here to do. And that's where you start to get the guidance. And so I pulled up the document. I'm looking at this original page of mine. And so just to give a little examples, like things that I loved, I put learning, speaking, human connection, what I'm great at. I had communication, learning, analysis. That was for my finance days. What I can get paid for. I put down coaching, writing, speaking, teaching, leadership. But I didn't know how to make money in any of those yet. So you can put down things you're aspiring to get paid for. And for what the world needs, I had love, human connection, authenticity, better connection, better education. And at the bottom of each of my columns, as I mentioned, like you don't have to pick a word. It can be a summary. So for what I love, I put continuous improvement. What I'm great at, I put connecting / supporting. What I can get paid for, I put coaching / creating. And for what the world needs, I just summed it up to human growth and like development. And so under that, I have my mission in life is to, that was my starting phrase. And I had some bullet points. It was help others realize their potential, become the best version of themselves, grow, connect, and develop. Never stop growing and learning myself. Like that was always a key part for me is it was hard to do at first because it felt selfish, but I realized that I needed to put myself in my mission statement so that it wasn't only about other people, because it's actually through me walking the walk and talking the talk that I'm able to help other people. So one of the earliest iterations was my mission in life is to help others realize their potential and become the best version of themselves. Then I realized that my mission in life is to become the best version of myself so that I can help others realize their potential. And again, we skipped over a lot.
It was like external, internal, external. Like you kind of went through this expansion and contraction with it where it's like, you know, I need to help change other people's lives. And oh, in order to do that, I need to change my own. And then I can go out and help others change theirs. And so it's kind of like this, this kind of inhale, exhale experience where you're starting to live and breathe this stuff.
Exactly. And you'll know, you'll know if you're going down the right track with it, because when you read the sentence, you'll feel something, it'll fire you up. Again, you might change some words. Looking at the PDF that we'll link, that's not even my current one. So my current mission statement, my purpose is to live a story worth telling while helping others do the same. So I had to put myself first so that I have the credibility, I have the experience, I have the tools. But ultimately, it's not about me. It's about the other people that I get to help do this with. And it is so helpful. It is so helpful to know that this is what I'm here for. This is why I exist.
So let's see you flex, Greg. I want to see your coaching muscles in action. I've been following along, and forgive me. I don't get distracted in interviews. If you're watching right now, I've done my four columns here, pretty light. Greg, you showed me yours. I'll show you mine. So love. I've got speaking, interfacing with people, coaching. I love just connection, human connection. I love men's work. I love deep conversations, and I love community building. Is there any back and forth, or do I just go through them all?
Keep going, and then we'll summarize them.
Sure. Skills. Speaking. Working with people. Coaching. I have skills in communication. So communicating a message so that people can understand it. Storytelling. Facilitating groups. Bridge building. And I call that belief building. And emotional intelligence. And we've got dollary dues. Speaking. Working with people, coaching, facilitating groups, emotional intelligence, workshops, and then what the world needs. So positive male role models, someone to believe in them and have their back, and positivity, guidance, kindness. So those are my columns.
I love it. I love it. So now what we'll do is we'll go back to love. Mm-hmm. And looking at those words that you shared, what is the common theme? What is the summary phrase that encompasses everything you put down?
I would say, yeah, it'd be depth. So like deep conversations and coaching, because that's just, that's, yeah, where my life has been for 15 years.
So that can be a perfect start. The question I would ask is, what is it about the deep conversations and coaching? What is the essence of it that you love? Is it the human connection? Is it the transference of ideas? Is it the presence?
You know, previously phrased it as cutting through the bullshit.
That works.
Yeah, it's real. It's genuine. Yeah, it's genuine. It's meeting someone not at their head, but at their heart.
Mm. Okay, so whatever you come to as the first draft for the love column, just circle it at the bottom.
Yep.
And then you'll move to, you were calling it skills, but what you're good at.
Good at,
is the next column.
So yeah, speaking, coaching, communicating messages, storytelling, facilitating groups, facilitating workshops, emotional intelligence.
Yeah. So what's the story of that column? What's the theme? What would that book be called?
Yeah, it would be probably group facilitation.
Love it.
Yeah. Group facilitation, okay, for sure. And then under, you know, money to get paid, coaching, speaking, facilitating, those are all things I'm currently getting paid to do.
Congratulations. Sounds like you're doing the things you love.
Oh, mate, I've been on this path for a while. So it feels, that feels good. That feels good. Cause I remember sleepless nights trying to figure that one out. And then what the world needs are positive male role models, guidance, kindness, belief. And that's the, you probably know that phenomenon. I imagine you, I know you do, Greg, is that when you see that aha, you've just moved the clouds. Well, they've moved the clouds because that's coaching. You have them move the clouds, but boom, they can see the mountain peak or whatever that they're trying to climb, and boom, lightning strikes, and they're off to the races. So I would say belief in themselves. Okay.
Okay. So for love, read them back to me, read back the circled phrases.
Yeah.
And then we'll put them all together here in real time.
Okay, in real time. So genuine heart-centered connection. That's what I love. Group facilitation. And group facilitating, coaching, interchangeable there. And get paid, coaching, speaking, facilitating. And the world needs belief in themselves.
So real quickly, for the paid for, what are you actually getting paid to do? Like speaking, coaching, facilitation, but what are you getting paid for? Is it transformation? Is it discovery? Is it?
It'd probably be talent development.
Okay. Awesome.
That's why folks hire me. Talent development.
So it's genuine heart-centered connection. Is what you love.
Yeah.
Good at group facilitation, paid for talent development. What you think the world needs is belief in themselves. So let's bring it all together. Do you want to start it off with my mission, my dream, my purpose, why I exist? Yeah. What do you want to start it with?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so it's almost like working backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So my mission is to create a world in where where people are able to develop a belief in themselves that they can't see for themselves through group facilitation and coaching in order to create genuine heart-centered connection. That's version 1.0.
I'm typing furiously over here trying to get that down. So what I heard you say is my mission is to create a world where people are able to develop a belief in themselves through group facilitation and coaching in order to, I can't remember create, the word you used, create yeah, genuine heart-centered
connection. And, you know, a company hires me to come in and take them through an emotional intelligence workshop. And we're walking out of there with a real genuine sense outside of, you know, corporate strategies and individual strategies for professional development. There's a real sensation of kumbaya that's created where the veils have been removed. And there really is like a solid connection among the staff that are present, myself and them. And yeah, so that's kind of like I get that. I get to scratch that itch, even though I'm dealing with a room full of middle managers.
So yeah. Good. So I just put it in the chat. I just put it in the chat. I want you to open it up and I want you to read it and let me know how it feels.
My mission is to create a world where people develop a belief in themselves through group coaching and facilitation, which creates genuine heart-centered connection. That's what I do. Very cool. It's nice to summarize it like that because I've tried not to, in this phase of life where there's been that kind of sensation of flow where things have been happening. And I must say, Ikigai felt way more out of my grasp before I became a father or before I got married, met my wife and became a father. Ikigai became way more reachable, way more within grasp because there's this external locus of, you know, that's caught my attention, my awareness. So yeah, this is a powerful exercise, mate. No, I would encourage any and all listening, for those that have joined us live, Greg's email is in the comment section in the chat. And for those that are listening via the podcast, you can find it in the show notes as well as Greg's prepared a little downloadable PDF that you can download, which pretty much has this all spelt out.
It does. It gives a little background on what Ikigai is, shows you a visual representation with the four overlapping circles, takes you through it step by step, and then you'll get to see that little piece of paper in my journal where it all came together for me. And I think what I want to leave people with is hope that it is more within your grasp than you imagine to figure out what a purpose is. Remember, a purpose for this chapter of your life. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't need to plan out the next 35 years, because if you start living in alignment with what it is you're here to do, so many wonderful, magical opportunities will happen and doors will open that your 35-year plan wouldn't make sense because the unexpected is going to happen.
Yeah. And that ties in so well to what you've come on the show previously to talk about, which is, you know, living boldly and putting yourself out there. To me, it summarizes by just this simple mental model, knowing that it's version 1.0 for many of us doing this exercise, is it's almost like a declaration that we're going to take a step from the stands into the arena.
Yes.
And we're putting ourselves in the game, right? And if you're living a story worth telling, you're becoming the protagonist of the story, not a side character in someone else's tale. So this is really powerful, man. And I'm grateful that you've come on to share these tools and excited to have you in, you know, come back and forth between the show. You've got a great energy and a really, really powerful insights for what you're doing and what you're creating in the world. Is there anything else that you want to leave with the guests before we wrap up?
I think the last thing is when you do this exercise, write down your mission statement, purpose statement, dream statement, whatever you're calling it. Write it down on a sticky note, one of these, and post it somewhere where you can see it over the next few days. And again, just read it. Read it in the morning, read it at lunch, read it at night, and see what you feel. And if you're reading it and you're like, wow, I actually hate that word, I need to replace it, grab a pen, scratch it out. It's your life. You're the author of your own story, and you get to decide what it's going to be like. So give it a try. Again, you have my email, you'll have this PDF. I geek out on this kind of stuff, on helping people figure out what they want to do with their life. So please don't be a stranger. Feel free to reach out. And I hope that this is the foundational moment, the start of your big adventure, like it was for me.
Beautiful, mate. Beautiful. Well, thank you for being here. It's been an absolute pleasure. And we want to thank all of you that listen to this show, that support this show. And for those who joined us live, for those that checked in during our call, we have Tucker, we have Damien, we have Kate, we have Stan, and multiple others that have been a part of this process and chiming in throughout this process as well. So thank you to all of you. None of this is possible without you. For those that have joined us live, be sure to check out the Mankind podcast anywhere and everywhere that you listen to your podcast. You can find it. And for those that are joining us week in, week out, one of the best ways that you can pay forward this incredible stuff that you've heard today from Greg is to share it. That's the fee. The fee today for this free episode is that you share it with those whom you care about, whom you love, and whom you've thought of throughout this process. Maybe someone that you know who is perhaps struggling and a little stuck right now and struggling to find that purpose. Maybe this episode is going to be the perfect catalyst to help them take that first step. And as well, don't forget Greg's call to action. His email is in the show notes and it's in the comments for those that have joined us live. You can book a call with Greg and he'll help you unpack your ikigai. So, lots of love. I've been Brandon Clift, your host on the show where we break the molds of modern manhood to prove there is more than one way to be a man. What do you say, Greg? Have we done that today?
I say we have.
Beautiful. Lots of love. We'll see you all next week. This has been another episode of the Mankind Podcast, produced in association with the Mankind Project USA. We have been your hosts, Boyson Hodgson and myself, Brandon Clift, and we want to thank our guests for joining us today and imparting their wisdom from their experiences in this amazing journey called life. If you want to find out more about today's guests and support them in their mission, you can find links to them in the show notes. Now, if you have found gold and insights that you believe could benefit your loved ones and those you care about, be sure to share it with them. And of course, we are always grateful for a rating and review of the show on iTunes. Now, above all else, we've got to thank you, the listener. Because through your attention and your support, you have made it possible for us to let men all over the world know that they are not alone and that there is more than one way to be a man. And if something in this episode has touched you, then perhaps it is the call to action to get involved in men's work. With live trainings happening constantly and in-person trainings happening all over the world, the Mankind Project definitely has something for you. Now, if you've enjoyed the music in this episode and all of our episodes, be sure to check out Jim Donovan and the Sun King Warriors. I have links to them in the show notes. And lastly, just know, what it means to me to be a man is completely different than what it means for you. That is the beauty of this journey. So if you are looking for guidance, support, and community as you begin to unpack and dive deeper into your men's work journey, then you know where to find us. Same place, same time, next week. Lots of love. See you then.